Hello, welcome to Lies, Deceit, and Profit. My name is Lucas Demra, a student with way too much time and likes to, and who loves to rant about the things that interest him. And today, we're here to talk about fake crimes. And if you want specifics, we're going to be talking about hate hoaxes and rape and false rape claims. And to begin this little ditty, I'm going to say this. When I define what is a fake crime, I mean a crime that was specifically fabricated to either harm or profit from. And now, I'm going to start off by saying this. These are awful. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. These are terrible things, and God, you can't. We shouldn't lie about these. These are awful crimes, and when you lie, you practically shoot the credibility. Your credibility. You shoot the credibility of all others who were willing, of anyone who was willing to come forward, and you shoot down the credibility of later victims, who are actually victims. If you. I guess to put it bluntly, don't do it. Just don't do it. The first case is for this podcast is the Columbia University rape controversy, also known as Carry That Weight, Mattress Performance Art Piece, or Mattress Girl, and both those names will become very clear. Will become very clear should you not know. So, her story begins on April 18th, 2013, where student Emma Sokowitz reported that on August 27th, 2012, Sokowitz had consensual sex with a fellow student who she was seeing. They weren't boyfriend-girlfriend, they were more friends with benefits, I want to say. Named Paul Nungesser, and the consensual sex turned violent. He began to choke and slap her, as well as pinning her arms, or wrists, not her arms, I guess her arms too, down, and proceeding to anally rape her. And through the entire event, she was begging him to stop. And after the act, he just left without a word. She filed the report. The campus police, as well as other police brought in, didn't continue with it because did charge him, but they didn't have enough evidence to convict. And so Sokowitz began to share her story online, on the news. And the most important thing that gave it this thing's name, she began to carry around a mattress for a performance art piece for senior year, and it was to bring attention to like this. To the online, or not online, what am I thinking? To the rape, to the sexual assault culture on campus. And she carried that mattress. She couldn't ask people to help her carry it, but people could volunteer. She even carried the dang thing during graduation. It's just fudge. Woman carried that mattress as much as she could. Now,
Why is this considered a false rape? A false rape claim. The truth is, Nungesser and Sokolowitz did have consensual sex twice that year. Neither of them turned violent. In fact, one of them was the alleged night in general in which it was consensual anal sex that turned into other activities. And he had the text messages to back it up. And what was interesting was she was during one of them, which was consequently 2 days after the said rape, he invited her to a party, and she immediately said yes. She immediately said yes, and by the text, she sounded highly enthusiastic. And, well, other ones where she was talking about how she loved him and all that. And here's I'm going to read one about this that happened apparently before the encounter. And I'm going to say this now. I have not been able to find a lot of things. This is because for some reason the internet never kept track of any of these. But I will say this once, but take this one worth a grain of salt. And so, it is a short interaction. So the first text is from Emma. And it just simply says, "Fuck me in the butt." And Paul replies, "M, maybe not. JK, I miss your face, though. M, ha 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 ha, you don't miss my lopsided ass." Now, first off, I'm going to say this, that I have heard people say stuff in conversation where it's like, "Oh, fuck me," or something like that. And it's more just, and it's not an invitation, it's more of just a way of saying, screw everything. Screw everything. But yeah. But beyond that, Nungesser was sentenced through a tribunal, a police investigation. Like I mentioned before, they turned up nothing. He went through a whole harassment campaign, and he did file a lawsuit, and he settled with the Columbia University, and I don't know what happened after that. Our second case happens to go down to the Rolling Stone UVA scandal, where Rolling Stone published an article titled "A Rape on Campus," which has been deleted as of December 4th, 2013, or that's at least the latest I could find it. But on the internet there is something called the Wayback Machine, which allows you to find stuff that has been deleted by going back to the dates. Now, and I'm going to just make this a very, very short. A girl went to a fraternity party invited by one of the fraternity brothers. She was then led up to a room and gang raped by the members, including the one who her quote unquote date. Now, and during the conversation, she said that they said stuff that would equal it to being kind of like this rite of passage. This is how you get into the fraternity kind of shit. Or, pardon my language. She didn't report it until later, and it And she said it's because when she told her friends, it became like this whole thing of, oh, if we tell this, she'll be the girl who cried rape. And because we're friends, her friends, our social standing will be shot. We can't, no rush parties, no fraternities, all that type of jazz. And of course, there was a massive protest and investigation of UVA, and with the phrase UV rape being thrown around. And of course there was a backlash, but because of how it was said, the campus was actually looked to be negligible, because some of the students interviewed, who at the time were friends of the girl, said that the campus didn't, when it was reported, the campus did jack. They did jack for it. And that apparently they had multiple claims, which they yet again did nothing for. The fraternity was, of course, looked like it was rape. There was always going to be rape victim after rape victim coming out of that place, and no one was being held accountable. And to put it lightly, the head of the fraternity said that the accusations killed their semester. Yet again, that's putting it lightly. And, well, pretty much ruined all the members' lives. The thing was, the girl who was only identified in the story as Jackie, she told the reporter that she experienced massive trauma from all this, but she couldn't remember. Well, she couldn't remember any of the names or faces or anything from her attackers. Now, of course, this could just be the classic trauma, get it out of your head type crap, but to put it lightly, that when it comes to this type of journalism, there it's this type of stuff plus a lot of other inconsistencies that Rolling Stone in a subsequent investigation found that led them to retracting the article and posting another article where they said that they were sorry, they didn't do their job right, yada yada yada. It really is just more of a bunch of legal speak after a while. So our final story is on Jussie Smollett, which most people might know by now. First off, I must say, I'm going to be quoting some things. All these are quotes. None of these are my ideas, words, or neither do I agree with any of the things said. And two, this script and podcast were made with the information I had at the time, which at the time of this was June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. As far as I know, at this time, no new information has come out, and this is all subject to change. Okay, now where do we start? I guess we should start with Jussie Smollett, who is black, gay, and Jewish. Yes, these will play parts in this story. And is a actor on Fox's TV show Empire. Now the story begins where he received a letter containing a white powdery substance while he was at the Fox studios. The powdery substance was later confirmed to be Tylenol, crushed Tylenol, and a note with a honestly laughable drawing, which apparently showed to be a man, most likely Jussie, hanging from a tree and being shot, and the and And in it was a threat with the words, "Die, nigger." Now, I say laughable because if when you see the drawing, you will understand. It looks truthfully like a child drew it. Okay, now, our main event happens to be in Chicago, downtown Chicago. Chicago at 2 a.m. during a polar vortex, which was around, I want to say, I'm going to say at least negative, around, I saw somewhere that it was around negative 30s or so. I could be completely wrong. Please, someone check me on this. Jesse was approached by two, in his work, and as he reports it, white men in MAGA hats. And MAGA, for those of you who are unaware, is President Donald Trump's slogan, which stands in abbreviation for Make America Great Again. Now, apparently when the people approached him, they initially... So, okay, I'm getting mixed up with the timeline. Okay, he went to get a Subway. Went to Subway to get food. On his way back, the two men approached him, first saying, "Hey, Empire!" And when he didn't respond to Empire, and they said, "Empire, nigger!" And, well, he then turned around at that, and then they proceeded to beat him, shouting things like, this is MAGA country. This is MAGA country, son. And well, after they beat him, they put, well, a rope around his neck, a noose, and poured a chemical substance over his head. This substance was most likely bleach. They never specifically said it was bleach, but it most likely was. This event took off. Jesse Smollett did a Good Morning America interview. Interview where he talked about it. He recounted the event. There's one thing he added that is important to this story, or at least plays a theme into this story, is that he said, and I quote, "If I had said it was a black man or a Muslim man, people would have been more likely to believe me." And I will save my comment for later. Now, this was confirmed to be a lie. One, the area was apparent, was according to multiple people and police, heavily monitored by security cameras, and the attack happened to be done off of a security camera. Funny. And so there was no capture at 2 a.m. in a polar vortex. Okay. Now, the two assailants were eventually found, and it turns out to be two Nigerian bodybuilders, in fact, who happened to be friends of Jesse's. The men were also caught at a store buying everything that was used in the attack. And they used a check that Jesse made for them. I am not making any of this stuff up. Now. And one thing, but I gotta say, and now my personal opinion with the Good Morning America thing. I don't care. I literally don't care what the race of the person who attacked him was. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is someone attacked. Is is if this actually happened, I would want to see the person put away, and if it had been the same thing as this situation, it would have been treated with the same amount of skepticism.
At the end of all this, I just want to say this. All these events were all done in the attempt to either harm or personal gain. And of course, they also led, and even if they didn't have any of those, they led to them. Matt, it's a serious crime, and as you've seen, it has led to the destruction of lives, loss of money, all that. Everything is wasted. And for those, everyone holding on to the hope that these people were punished, allow me to explain that. First off, Emma Sulkowitz, she was allowed to complete her degree. She faced no crime. She was brought on. She started a whole dang movement. She now has a art exhibit. And she's actually sick and tired of the mattress girl thing. And which I want to say this is, quote, and you can quote me on this. You started it. Own up to it. Now, of course, people, and this is important because people still believe she is the victim in all this. And in fact, people will still tout it out as an example of rape culture on campus, and yeah. Paul Nungesser, he managed to complete his degree. But, of course, he was left with nothing but a destroyed reputation. He did file against the school, and he won the lawsuit. Unfortunately, I have no idea where he is now. Okay, with the UVA stuff, Jackie, as far as I've been able to see, her name was never fully revealed. She was never charged. She was never charged, tried, or even had a lawsuit filed against her. And the fraternity and UVA's reputation were forever damaged. I don't even think they filed a lawsuit or anything against Rolling Stone. Which, as I pointed out, Rolling Stone did eventually take down the article and post up an thing talking about how they failed, how they it is basically a pure example of journalists not following through on anything. No journalistic integrity. It's bad all around. And finally, Jesse Smollett. The man was arrested. He was unfortunately given a rather back alley plea deal. He still faces federal charges because tampering with mail, even if it wasn't a poisonous substance, is still a crime. So there are federal charges, as far as I know. He was also, as of June 4th, 2019, kicked off of Empire, which I have reason to believe was only because he eventually became a liability. If he had never become a liability, he would never have gotten kicked off. And here's one more important thing. All these, I have willingness to believe that all three of these were for notoriety and fame. Emma Sulkowitz. I have reason to believe that this was basically a jilted lover getting back at Paul, and then she eventually just took on all the fame and everything that it gave her. Text messages and all that kind of show that she became a little obsessive. Jackie, without knowing her name or anything, I have no idea what she had to gain, but I would assume 15 minutes of fame. And Jesse, the most likely reason for his crime, as the police have said, was most likely Empire was probably planning on kicking him off, so he wanted to get more popularity to stay on, and two, get more money from Empire because he's more popular now.